at all, but it's brilliant. Okay, I get to Woodturn again. You got to know I love Woodturning, but I make as many wrecks as I can give away. I don't give the wrecks away. Catherine loves me making wrecks because they get to go in her ornament cupboard or on her shelves. But I love that. I get to be a pastor. That's brilliant. I get to do sermons. And you've got to know, I enjoy preparing sermons, I think, more than I enjoy preaching them. And you know I enjoy preaching them. There's times I'm actually preparing a sermon. I'm looking and thinking, I can't wait to preach this. Because it just, you know, I get into God's word and God's word gets into me and I just love it. But, you know, I get to do nothing more brilliant and better than worshipping Jesus. You've got to know that. You're looking at a guy who sometimes is filled with doubt, sometimes hates himself, sometimes wonders what on earth he's doing, sometimes wonders where he's going. But the best thing and the most brilliant thing I ever do is sometimes in my own quiet times, I just stop and I've got to worship him. I get to be on the front row most Sundays, and that means I don't have to look at you, so I worship Jesus. It's brilliant. You know, the best thing you can do is worship him. Don't care what song, what music, just worship him with everything that you have. Just keep worshiping him. And you get that for free. That's not even in my notes, so yeah. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. If you notice the title in the bulletin, it's my name is written on his hands. And praying about, Lord, what should I preach? And I was looking at this picture, and you don't have to think too far or know too much of the Bible to know that there's plenty where God talks about our names being written. And we've already sung one song this morning where we sung about our names being written on his hands. And we're going to sing one tonight before we've finished about our names being graven on his hands. So I just kind of did a quick Bible study and looked at where our names are written. And I came up with Isaiah 49. But I love the artwork. I love the art team being around because I get to see what they're making and get to kind of see it before it's made and see it growing. And they ask me about it. And, you know, is there too much blood? And I said, no, there's not enough. And they said, well, that's all right then. And I went home and asked Catherine and said, how much blood do you think we have? And she goes, no, not much, because people will be looking at it and some might faint. And she's very careful, my wife. She thinks about you a lot. You want to see some of the pictures she bans from my PowerPoints. And I just thought writing that, I said a couple of weeks ago in the morning service, that when they came to writing, I think Andrew's up there somewhere. And, well, I hope he is anyway. I said, will you write even Pastor Andrew? Because even my name, your name, if you know him, if you love him, he loves you and he's written your name on his hands. Let's read this passage from Isaiah chapter 49. We're reading from verse 8 through to verse 16. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritance, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and they will find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst. Neither will the desert heat or the sun beat on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up, so they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people. And he will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord's forgotten me. The Lord has forsaken me. can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your sons hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your sons gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you'll wear them all as ornaments and put them on like a bride. So reads God's word. Why do you write things on your hands? I wouldn't let our girls, when they were kids, they used to, you know, kids do things like that. They write things on their hands, you know, homework. Don't do it, all right? Or the homework is this. When they get home, by the time they've rubbed their hands a few times, it's disappeared. So there's an excuse, isn't there? All right? Or a phone number. You might write a phone number on your hand. You know, you've got no piece of paper anywhere, but you've got a pen, so you quickly write it on your hand. I won't do that. I know Catherine does from time to time. Or maybe you're young and you're in love. And so you write the name of your sweetheart. That's a bit old-fashioned, isn't it? You write the name of the girl what you fancy, all right? You write her name on your hand, all right? Or she might write his name on her hand. And then somebody in the class sees it. And they say, oh, we know who you love, you know. And they do silly things like that when they're 44 years old. But you write things on your hand because you want to remember. Or you might write things on your hand because you love someone. There may be a lot of other reasons, but I would guess those two are probably some of the real keys. When Isaiah was speaking, around about 700 years before Jesus was born, an amazing prophet. Sometimes I read Isaiah and I kind of wish it wasn't in the Bible. And I'm not supposed to say things like that. But if it wasn't, some people would regard it as one of the greatest pieces of literature this world has ever known. This guy could write. He could really, really write. But it is in the Bible. And it's God speaking to his people through a prophet called Isaiah. And many times he points towards Jesus. Here, he's pointing towards a time when God is going to bring his people back to Israel. You might ask, why are they not there? Well, there's this kind of spiritual thing going on in the Old Testament where the people of Israel were given the land we know as Palestine now, or Israel. And it was their promised land. They were given it by God. But God said, you'll keep this land as long as you obey me. But if you turn your back on me, if you rebel against me and go your own way, then you watch out, because you will lose the land. Simple as that. You want to pick that up? Read the last 4 or 5 chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, where God sets out promises of blessing when they walk in obedience, and curses, particularly loss of the land when they disobey God. And Isaiah is speaking at a time when Israel are going to lose the land because of their disobedience. 3 quick ways of remembering what their disobedience was. It's 3 I's. First of all, idolatry. They followed other gods. Immorality. They committed sexual sins. And then injustice. They didn't care for the people who were downtrodden because they were treading on them. Those 3 key things are 3 of the key things that God says, I want you to obey me and walk in purity in those areas towards me. But Israel didn't. They turned their backs on them and they were losing their right to the land. And successive waves of huge superpowers, the Assyrian Empire swept down over Israel. The Babylonian Empire swept down over Israel. And then the Persian Empire. And each time they came in and ransacked and robbed it and took the people away from the land. When you read this passage, you read Isaiah, or God saying through Isaiah, one day, I'm going to bring you back from all over the earth, from the north and the west. That's the north and the west. That was out with where Assyria was in the north, right down to Aswan. Aswan is kind of down south Egypt way in Africa. So I'm going to bring you from all over the world. I'm going to bring you back to the land. And you'll know then that I'm going to bless you. And when you get back into the land, you're going to follow me and you're going to know my love. You're going to know my blessing. And I'm going to make it easy for you, because I'm going to turn the mountains into highways. So it'll be easy to get back. And I'm going to put you in a place where you're back in the holy city of Jerusalem, which is kind of the place of God's presence. When Jerusalem was well, Israel was well. It was a sign of God's blessing, the holy city, where they loved to worship God. And then Israel kind of says to Isaiah, hang on a minute, you're telling me all these promises, but God's forgotten us. We're in exile. We've been dragged away from the land. We're living under his punishment. Don't you tell me God's going to do all that kind of good stuff for us, because God's forgotten us. And then Isaiah brings two beautiful and powerful pictures where he says, no. God has not forgotten you. And the first picture is simply the picture where he says, God has compassion on you. He is like a mother who cannot forget a baby at her breast. And it's a very kind of earthly, but it's also a beautiful, safe picture. And he says, God's like that. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? What's a mother with a baby feeding? She's filled with love. She's filled with compassion for that child, because she's recognized the cries, recognized the need, said it's feeding time. Doesn't matter that it's 3 o'clock in the morning, it's feeding time. And the love of the mother draws the baby to her breast and she feeds. And God says, Isaiah says to Israel, God's like that. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? And the answer is, no, of course not. And he says, can a mother have no compassion on her child? No, of course not. And then he uses a kind of a comparison, if you will. And Isaiah says, though she may forget. And you're thinking, no, she can't forget. The baby's there. There's no way she will forget. Isaiah says, though she may forget, God never ever will. God never ever will. You know, sometimes we get to a place in our lives when we wonder if God's really there, don't we? We're a bit like Israel in this passage. We say, God's forgotten us. Things have gone so bad for me. Or I'm finding it so hard to live at the moment. I'm struggling with grief. I'm struggling with pain. I'm sad. I've lost my livelihood. I struggle with depression. It feels like God's forgotten me. One of the greatest hymn writers, a man called William Cowper, lived with borderline insanity, in and out of institutions, wrote these words, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word?" Amazing words. And yet somebody who struggled deeply. And you might say, God's forgotten me. Maybe days when you wake up, you feel so lousy that you feel like Israel did. One of the great things about, if you will, taking snapshots of God when you read a passage like this is you don't just get the God of Israel. You get a picture of the God of you and the God of me. And God's saying, I can never forget you. No more than a mother can forget her child feeding at her breast. With all the beauty and the peace and the compassion of that, God says, I will never forget you. She might, I won't. Do you get that? Do you get that you are so special to God that he will never, ever, ever forget you? Do you get that? And you think, no, I've done too much. I've been too bad. God doesn't want to know me. That's not what it says here. You might think, no, he feels like a million miles away. That's not what it says here. And then he goes on to say why he'll never forget you. The next verse on in verse 16 says this, see, though a mother might forget the baby at the breast, see, I won't, because I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. I love the word compassion in the Bible. Some of you know that it's got a kind of in the New Testament when it's used, it's got a word that comes from our guts. In fact, if you read it in the King James Version, sometimes you'll read this phrase that Jesus had bowels of mercy. Just enough to make a 14-year-old snigger, isn't it? But what it's really saying, that the word there is the word we get spleen from. And what it's saying is that Jesus wasn't moved from his head when he had compassion on people. He wasn't moved from his heart. He was moved from the very depths of his being to the point that he had to do something. And God's compassion on you is like that. He's moved to the very depths of his being that he has to do something. And he says, so I won't forget you. I'm going to engrave your name on my hands. And that's what Isaiah says here. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls or your place is ever before me. And I just love that thought that somehow the love and the compassion of God is so deep, so strong, so powerful, that like a 14-year-old who's fallen in love with his sweetheart, he writes, Judy. Judy. He writes, Don. Don? Yeah. Don. He writes, David. And even Pastor Andrew. On the palms of his hands. And when you pick that up and take it forwards in time into the New Testament, you see that here in the Old, the people of Israel were not the kind of people who deserved that compassion. They deserved to lose the land because of their idolatry, immorality, and injustice. They deserved to lose the land. But God will win them back and woo them back and bring them back. And then you read about it in the New Testament and you see this city that God's going to bring them back to, the place of his presence. Jesus crying over that city. Matthew 23. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I would long to have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Here is Jesus using, again, a beautiful maternal, a motherly picture of God and saying, I would love to bring you back to me. I'd love to bring you under my wings, under my protection, into the warmth of my love, my presence. But you would not. Then when you read on into the New Testament, you see Jesus with his arms outstretched. And Pastor Chris sometimes says it this way. He said, Jesus said, how much do I love you? And he stretched out his arms on the cross and said, this much. Jesus with his arms stretched out, dying in your place, dying in my place, taking the punishment of our sin, taking the death that we are worthy of, Because God in his holy, holy love will not have us sin in his presence. But he will make a way for us to be forgiven. He will make a way for us to be clean. Jesus stretched out his arms and said, I love you this much. So that this engraving on his hands can happen. But they're not just written on his hands. When you read the New Testament, you find that they're written somewhere else. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. When John was writing this wonderful kind of revelation, this vision of God and of Jesus, he wrote to some of the churches that we know now as churches in modern day Turkey, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon and Thyatira and places like that. And actually there's evidence that when you're in one of those cities, your name could be removed from the city register because you've been convicted of a crime. And first century Christians in those cities were actually under constant threat for being branded as political and social rebels and stripped of their citizenship, right? So here you are living in a city where for being a Christian, you could have your name removed from the city register. And Jesus said, but you can never have it removed from the book, the city register in the city of heaven, the city of my presence. Your name will never be taken away from that. On earth, maybe. In my presence, never ever. And so John goes on to write in Revelation 21, the glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into God's presence. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. Only those whose names are written in the book of life. And I wonder tonight, kind of, do you have this incredible picture of a God who loves you so much that he writes his name on your hand? Can you see your name there? Can you? Can you see your name there, Peter? Can you see your name there, Joanne? Can you see your name there, Harry? Charles, can you see your name? It's written there on his hands. It's there, your name. If you know Jesus, you know his love for you. If you've received him into your life, your name is written on his hands and in this book, and it will never be taken away. And so if you think, or if you don't know that your name is written there, I want to tell you that you can. I want to tell you that you can know. Just as some of those names are up there, and I don't know if you've been to check, and you might have gone and think, oh, I'm disappointed. But that's only a picture. All we ever get down here are pictures. What we know of God now, what we love of him now is only just kind of a, if you will, a foretaste. It's the starter course. The main thing is when we get to be with him forever. And you can know that. All you've got to do is accept that this Christ whose arms were stretched out for you in love is your Lord and Savior. That he took your sin in his body on the cross. And all you need to do is say, God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my life and change me so that instead of living my own way, I'm going to live for you forever. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I'm changed and I have the power and the wisdom to know how to live for you. But if that's you tonight and you'd love to see your name, maybe not written up there on our picture, but written on his big, beautiful, glorious picture of nail-scarred hands with your name on them, you can do that tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, as we read this passage, we see a people who've turned their backs on you and don't deserve your love being given it. People who ignore you and go their own way are brought back to you through your compassion. They have their names written on your hands because you love them. And our names are written there too because you love us. And we rejoice. For those of us who know it, Lord, we're awed by you, we're thrilled by you. And all we can say is thank you, thank you, thank you. Receive our thanks, our praise. But just as we pray in the quietness, it may be you know that you don't know that your name's written there. God's word says this, that if you believe in his name, he gives you the right to become a son or a daughter, a child of the living God. If you believe in him, if you put your life in his hands, accepting all that he's done at the cross for you to forgive you and clean you from sin, if you receive him into your heart, then your name will be written on his hands and in his book of life. And you'll be welcomed into his eternal presence. But you'll be welcomed right here and right now. Will you receive him? Pray that prayer, that simple prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's where it begins. At the foot of the cross, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Holy Spirit, will you work in our lives? Keep teaching us this beautiful truth again and again and again. Lord, for those of us who may have prayed that simple prayer tonight, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Change us completely, more than we ever knew or ever thought possible, so that we're filled with your life and filled with your love and your presence through your Spirit. Holy Spirit, do that even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.